Hello, everyone in Construction Land. Welcome to another episode of Constructive Conversations, your source for anything and everything construction-related and a whole lot more. This podcast is brought to you by the fine folks of Brown Edwards, which also happens to be my employer. Today, we have a guest with us from around here in Charleston with a great organization, Jobs and Hope, West Virginia. Everyone, welcome Deb Harris to the podcast.
Good morning, everyone.
So thanks again, Deb, for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your time and can't wait to give our listeners a lot of great information about your organization.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good deal. So let's talk about what is your background, and could you please give the listeners some background on Jobs and Hope, its inception, the mission, and where it is today?
Sure. So I am Deb Harris, and my background is actually in education. I came from the education world, higher education, previously employed at Bridge Valley as a counselor for individuals on TANF, navigating college to help them be successful in their college journey. I myself was on TANF when I attended community college, a non-traditional student, so I needed some assistance to be successful in higher education and then in the workplace. So in 2019, it was announced in the State of the State, the idea for Jobs and Hope West Virginia. And it was really to help individuals eliminate barriers to employment, specifically those individuals who are in treatment recovery or coming out of some type of justice involvement. So formerly incarcerated individuals, this specific population faces unique barriers to employment and to reintegration into their communities in general. So in 2019, when this program was announced, it was funded by the West Virginia legislature, and the idea was to help them eliminate all the barriers that they're facing to employment, provide some type of training or education for these individuals, and then help with placement in employment. So that was how we got our start. So it was a perfect place for me to land because I had been there and done that, and I had navigated barriers of my own. I had an understanding, a real lived perspective on what folks might need to be successful.
Good deal. So since its inception in 2019, how has the program evolved in response to the changing workforce needs?
We started with 10 transition agents, and I can get into a little bit more about what they do here in a little bit. We started with 10 of those statewide, covering all 55 counties. We now have 24 transition agents serving all 55 counties, as well as 4 reentry liaisons who work in correctional facilities helping with reentry prior to release. We've added some training opportunities for our participants based on workforce needs in the state. And we've also added some additional incentives for employers as well.
That's a lot of growth over six years, and throw COVID in there in the mix too. That's a lot of growth with your program.
Yeah.
Do you expect it to continue to expand? Do you see growth in the future, continued growth?
Lots of potential for growth. I would say contingent on funding.
Yeah, that we won't get into politics because I tend to step on my foot whenever I do, but yeah, definitely a lot of things, a lot of government agencies and programs are contingent upon, you know, the regime currently in place and just the political landscape in general. But, you know, hopefully this program continues to grow. So what specific training programs does Jobs and Hope offer for careers in construction? And you can talk about more than just construction, but let's start off first with construction.
So one of our partners from the very beginning is the West Virginia Military Authority. And this goes back all the way to Hoyer, when if you wanted something done, he was your go-to guy. So Military Authority kind of had their hand in everything. That has been a great partnership for Jobs and Hope, and one that we've continued to maintain since 2019 and expand on that partnership. So we started a partnership with the West Virginia Military Authority and the National Guard at Camp Dawson for a 28-day heavy equipment operator training where our participants can go and stay at Camp Dawson. They're housed, they're fed, they're trained on 5 to 6 pieces of heavy equipment. They do OSHA training. At the end of that training, we bring employers in to host a job fair, and our folks are ready with a resume and have gone through mock interviewing and things like that. so that they can get their foot in the door with some of the employers that we have in attendance there. So that's probably our most popular training in relation to construction, but we also have partnerships with PCTC, so Putnam Career and Technical College, and then lots of higher ed CTE programs. We actually have CTE programs inside correctional facilities as well. And so the West Virginia Schools of Diversion and Transition is over all of the educational programming in correctional facilities. We have some great CTE programs and instructors inside the walls, as we say, that will prepare folks for employment prior to their release. Can also do a one-off forklift training with some of those CTE facilities statewide. So lots of options for construction.
Well, definitely. Shout out to Caldwell PCTC. I know the Caldwell
CD is great. Yeah.
Yes, CD is great. But that's just a great school in general. I live in Eleanor, right there. You know, actually, my first house was across the street from PCTC. I still live in Eleanor and grew up in that community and have known a lot of kids that have gone through the program there, going through electrical. My nephew's going through the electrical program, you know, the heavy equipment operating program. All those things are just great for young kids. But like to your point, what you're providing is something more than just, you know, you got your secondary schools that are feeding these technical schools, kids that are growing up, learning a trade, and then going out into the workforce. But more to your point, you're providing an avenue for those that are past that traditional student age to go back and get that education. And, you know, like you said, not just with PCTC, but the West Virginia Military Authority and things like that. So those are great, great avenues for training. But like we talked about just a little bit ago before we started, you know, that it's not just construction. There are other avenues for training that you want to mention.
Yes. So other avenues, and it's really based on what the participant says they want to do. And a lot of times folks are not even asked that until they get to us. What would you like to do with your life? What job do you see yourself doing? And so a lot of our folks, not surprisingly, want to go into the helping field. You know, they have had someone throughout their journey that has gone the extra mile and helped them. So a lot of our folks want to go into peer recovery support or social work or go to college and see what they want to do. So we will help anyone with a path that makes sense for them. Some folks, you know, with a background have challenges to going into healthcare and things like that, but whatever it is that they say they want to do, whether it's welding or HVAC or construction or a healthcare industry or peer recovery specialist, we'll help them figure out a plan.
Are there any certifications or credentials that the participants come away with that help them transition into like long-term construction careers?
So lots of our programs in facilities, and I do want to say we have great partnerships with unions and, you know, of course, the West Virginia Construction Association as well. But some of the specific credentials that we can offer, NCCER, ASE, the fiber, and things like that, we offer in. So they can actually go through all of that and come out with those credentials, which gives them kind of a leg up in seeking employment.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Without naming any names, if you're not comfortable, are there any success stories that you'd like to mention from these programs?
Sure. And I will tell you, to put a little shameless plug in for our social media, our Facebook and our website, we share success stories daily on there with our participants' permission to share their journey. So lots of success stories on there, great successes. If your listeners want to go and check us out on Facebook, you can find us just Jobs and Hope West Virginia. But in particular, we have had great success with the Department of Highways hiring our individuals. A handful of women still work for the Department of Highways and have gone on and completed additional trainings with them as their employer. IBEW, we have recently had a handful of folks get on with IBEW. Mm-hmm. Orders Construction has been great. Union laborers, building and construction trades industry also hires a lot of our folks as well. And a lot of these individuals have overcome so many barriers. We'll get into what those are in a little bit, but it's common for us to see them have to go through multiple resources to overcome the barriers that they come to us with. So it's just really a great stories of hope for everyone to remember. And in a time, I think that we need more hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, also with labor shortages, what you're providing is a terrific resource for our employers. It goes across all industries, but just specifically the construction industry gets hit hard by labor shortages. And just to have another organization that's helping to provide a workforce for them is invaluable. That's a great thing. You and I talked about some partnerships. What role do industry partners like the Contractors Association of West Virginia play into your programs?
The Contractors Association and the West Virginia Military Authority, those are probably two of my favorite partnerships with Jobs and Hope. Pat and Shelley, both at the Contractors Association, have been amazing to work with. And 98% of the time when I ask them, hey, can you guys help with this? It's a yes. So they have been instrumental in the graduation ceremony at our heavy equipment operator training, where they put the word out to all of their members, and employers will come for that job fair for participants to go through each table and see what the employer has to offer and make their decision from a variety of employers that are hiring. And so that has been one of the great things. We have in March every year at the Expo here in Charleston, a huge graduation ceremony. We usually have some public official come and present graduation certificates to our participants. But in addition to that, they're always great for providing a letter of support for grants when we're looking for additional funding. Most recently, a lot of our participants were trying to pass their contractor's exam, and we needed books for them to study for their contractor's exam. Don't know. Those are pricey. So I asked the Contractors Association if they would be willing to sponsor a few sets of those books to distribute out and lend to our participants that needed to study for that. And they bought us two sets of those books, and we are rotating through participants that have an interest in taking that exam. So it's been an amazing partnership.
It sounds like there may be opportunities for others. So what other opportunities for employers are there to participate in curriculum development or even mentorship?
Oh, that's a great question. So I want to speak about some of the partnerships that we have, like on the inside facilities first, but then maybe a little call to action for anybody listening on, you know, some opportunities that they might have. So Johnson Control actually just partnered with the West Virginia Schools of Diversion and Transition, and they're providing all of their curriculum to our students for HVAC certification and facilities. It's a new program we're starting in one of our facilities. But to be able to do that, we had to have curriculum and we had to have some equipment. So Johnson Controls, we are in partnership with them for that. And then, we are looking at any employer that wants to provide curriculum, and we will partner in facilitating that. So we will find an instructor to facilitate that. Most recently, conversations with the military authority, we see a big need for CDL training. And with our limited funding, it's been a little tricky trying to find curriculum and instructors and trucks. So more to come on that here in just a minute. But any curriculum or need that an employer sees, we have partners that are willing to work with us to help meet the needs of those employers.
That's great. And if any of them would like to help out, what's the best avenue for them to go down? Would it be to go to your website?
They can go to the website. There's a general email listed on that website. It comes to me, or they can email me directly, drharris@k12.
So, along those lines, how does Jobs and Hope incentivize construction companies to hire program graduates?
In our partnership with the West Virginia Military Authority, we have a wage reimbursement program that any employer that is willing to hire our participants. And this is not just construction or trades. This is any employer. We will reimburse them up to $20,000 per employee or 1,040 hours, whichever comes first. It has to be career employment, and they have to be willing to pay a minimum of $15 an hour. And the idea behind this is that they would retain the employee after the wage reimbursement has been exhausted. So there are a lot of incentives to this for both the employee and the employer. You know, the employee gets to try out the job for a little while, and the employer gets to kind of try out the employee for a little while. During this whole process, the Jobs and Hope participant maintains regular contact with their transition agent, and the employer sends a monthly report on that employee's job performance. So if they are a great employee and showing up on time and coming to work and ready to learn, and they want to maybe give them an additional training or certification and they could be eligible for a raise, we can help them find that training so that they add credentials to their resume and are able to get a raise. If they are showing up late or missing work, the Jobs and Hope transition agent can kind of step in and, you know, see why they're having trouble getting to work. And if it's something that we can help them with, we will absolutely help provide that service.
That's definitely a great incentive. Yeah, I just kind of looked on the website a little bit earlier today and saw that there possibly are some opportunities for the work opportunity tax credit and maybe some other information like that to be passed on. If you haven't, all the listeners, if you haven't been on the website yet, it is jobsandhope.gov, and there's all kinds of great resources and information on there about their program. And I'll let you plug all that at the end of it. But I just, awesome. I wanted to mention that because that was on my mind about some of the resources that were listed there. So let's talk about barriers to employment. So what are the most common barriers that are faced by participants seeking construction jobs or just jobs in general? And how does the program help them address those?
So a lot of folks automatically think if they have a record, that it is a huge barrier, the number one barrier that people might face. We haven't seen that to be true. And actually during COVID, employers were calling me every day. And I think that the landscape or the paradigm has shifted a little bit. And when people think about hiring felons, and I always say, I would rather hire a felon knowingly than hire someone and then something happened to my business. And, you know, they're great employees. And in my experience, some of the hardest workers we have in the state, and they just are looking for a chance. They have more to lose and more to prove. So that aside, which sometimes can be a barrier depending on what field of work they want to go in, transportation is the number one barrier that we see in West Virginia, period, not just talking about Jobs and Hope participants, but just because of the rural landscape of West Virginia. Transportation, driver's license, if you don't have your driver's license, car repair, dental, childcare, those types of barriers prevent people from being successful in the workplace. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, people just don't want to work. You know, I can't get people to work. I don't believe that's true. I think West Virginians are known as hardworking individuals. I believe if you're not working, there's something preventing you from being successful in the workplace. And if we can help individuals by connecting them to the resources that will eliminate those things, then they'll be successful in the workplace.
So basically, someone's out there and they really want to work. They just have these barriers. They just need to reach out to you all. Is that how that works?
Yeah, they can call the hotline. They can go on the website and click Start Your Journey. And it'll go over our eligibility requirements. You have to be 18, a resident of West Virginia, have a barrier to employment, be ready and willing to do some type of training or education, and then have career employment as your goal. And you have to pass a drug screen to be in Jobs and Hope. And that's something that employers don't have to worry about. If they're a Jobs and Hope participant, we're already drug screening them and working with them to eliminate any barrier that they have.
Yeah. So things like identification and driver's license, you all help them with that process?
Absolutely. So the DMV, anytime I get the opportunity to say this, the DMV has been wonderful The DMV has been a great partner with us, and we've got several programs and processes with the DMV specifically for Jobs and Hope. But if someone has fines and fees that they need to get paid off to get their driver's license reinstated, we can help them do a citations request with the DMV, and there are processes that we follow to get driver's license reinstated. We've been successful in over 3,000 individuals getting their driver's license reinstated through a partnership with Jobs and Hope and the DMV. And then we also have partners that provide transportation for our participants. Motive Care holds the state non-emergency medical transportation contract through our partnership with the Office of Drug Control Policy. We can transport individuals to and from work, to and from school, anything that they need Jobs and Hope related so that they can get where they need to go.
So once you have a participant placed in employment, what support systems are in place to help them maintain that employment?
So shout out to my transition agents who are serving their participants statewide. We have over 1,500 active participants in the program spread across 55 counties, 24 transition agents serving them. They are experts in their region, and their case management really helps to support one-on-one the participants that they're working with so that they are successful. We meet with our participants once a month, check in with them. How's it going? What do you need? Are there any new barriers that we need to address? So then we can do referrals to partner agencies statewide to help eliminate all those barriers that I mentioned before. Transportation, childcare. Childcare is a huge barrier for individuals trying to enter the workplace. Dental needs. So, you know, all of those supports, it's not just Jobs and Hope. It's so much bigger than that. It's all of the partners that we have been able to maintain for the past 6 years that support, we collectively support individuals and make them successful.
Are your transition agents, are they all diversified in the types of industries that they work in, or any of them industry specific?
We have such a diverse team that it spans from, I have a veteran-specific transition agent. John is a 20-year Navy veteran who has done any and everything imaginable, including some trades, but he serves veterans statewide. We have folks that are in recovery from substance use themselves. We have higher education folks. We have one of my staff members is an EMT. So, I mean, it spans all kinds of expertise. And I think that that's one of the things that makes our team so great is that if someone has a question, we bring it to the team and collectively we'll help someone figure out.
That's good. So what does the future look like for Jobs and Hope West Virginia? Any new programs or, I know we talked about growth a little bit, but anything that you see the future of Jobs and Hope changing in the future?
Yeah, we have applied for several grants that would allow us to expand our reentry efforts. So we see a bigger need for reentry prior to release. So my hope is to be able to expand those reentry services and facilities to allow people kind of a leg up when they reenter their communities. Another big need that we see is funding to support, we talked about the wage reimbursement, but shorter term training. So on the job trainings, folks that want to go into the union trade that may have like shorter term employment opportunities. And then the big one that I couldn't wait for this question because I want to put kind of a call to action or a plug into your listeners. CDL training is in such high demand and there's not enough funding to pay for folks that want to go through CDL training. So we're partnering with the military authority again, only because we know that partnership works and is successful, and with the Department of Highways to provide curriculum, instructors. We're going to do train the trainer. We need trucks. We need a truck. We need a CDL truck. So we're looking for funding for that. We may be able to lease a truck short term, but if any employer sees a need for trained CDL drivers, I would love to have a conversation with them on what a potential partnership might look like through them. And then just like we do our heavy equipment operator training, that would provide hiring events and people to fill vacancies that they might have for CDL drivers.
Yes. I mean, surely there's somebody out there that has a CDL truck that could fit your program, and some funds out there that could be made to happen, especially if there's a need. You know, you have to invest in the future of West Virginia and the workforce in those manners. So I feel like we've talked about a lot of stuff today, but what am I missing? I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I always like to mention, the program's called Jobs and Hope. And I think a lot of the emphasis is always put on the jobs. Of course, you have to have a job, but sometimes the job is the hope for individuals. And so I always like to stress the hope part of it. Sometimes it's not a second chance or a third chance. It's just a fair chance. You know, if these individuals are coming to you trained with certifications, they're in a program, they're trying to better themselves, give them a fair chance, just like you would anyone else that's coming to apply for a job. And I think that, you know, I mentioned before, we really need hope today. And so, you know, it's more than just a job. Sometimes we need to really focus on what the hope is for the future of West Virginia and the future of our program, I think, is why we invest so heavily in partnerships and the success of our participants. So when you're talking about jobs and hope, of course, we want you to have a job, but don't forget about the hope.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, everything that you are doing is just making West Virginia a better place and making our great state that much greater. So really commend what you all are doing. And I plugged the website earlier, but Deb, if anybody wants to get a hold of you or anyone at Jobs and Hope, what are the best ways?
You can reach us on the website, jobsandhope.wv.gov, or you can email me directly at drharris@k12.wv.us. And then also like and follow us on Facebook. We post stories of hope on there. We post any events that we have upcoming. We are going to be doing a statewide event in January during legislative session. So look for all of that information on our Facebook page and our website.
Good deal. I'm sure I'll get to follow your all's journey along as I get updated regularly on the CAWV newsletters and information that comes out and any social media postings that I see. But I really wish you all well. And Deb, I thank you for your time today, coming on the podcast and giving the listeners more information about a great program that doesn't just benefit the participants of it, but can also benefits those that contribute to it. So thank you very much for being on here today.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So this wraps up another episode of Constructive Conversations. Be sure to follow us on YouTube and get the podcast wherever you subscribe to those. So for now, this has been Eddie Thompson. Thanks for listening.